Welcome to another message from the teaching team at Elevation Church Australia. For more information about our church, service times and locations, visit elevationchurch.com.au.
Funny how good, I think, has started to mean average. You know, great is just above it, and anything better than that definitely requires multiple adjectives. You know, the food was amazing, blow your mind, fantastic. You know, you need to get the Betty's Burgers or, you know, whatever example you're using. So when it comes to today and tonight and Good Friday, I wonder what word we could or language we would use in today's setting. And maybe we'll revisit that at the end of the message. But I just want you to know up front, Good Friday is not average Friday. It's not 3.5 stars on my Google rating of this cafe, you know, sort of on there. It's you know, however many, I was going to say expletives, not expletives, however many adjectives you want to use to describe it, that's where Good Friday is. But what I want to do now is I want to take you to a few scenes in the Bible, and we're going to focus in on two characters in particular. One of them's Jesus. Hopefully that's one. That's great. And the second is a disciple, one of Jesus' followers, and his name is Peter. Now, a little background on Peter. He was the guy with the big mouth. He was the risk taker. He was a little bit reactionary and definitely an extrovert. Like if he's doing the Myers-Briggs thing, he's definitely an E at the start, right? And so when the disciples, just some examples, when they were out on the boat, they're out on a boat one time, there was this ghostly figure walking on the water, and Peter is the guy who says, "Hey, Jesus, if that's you, call to me and I'll come and walk on the water." That was Peter, remember, risk taker. Around the time of the crucifixion, Jesus was being arrested, and Peter thought, this is my time. I'm going to defend Jesus. He's the one I love. And so when Jesus is going to be arrested, he actually grabs a sword, cuts off the ear of the high priest's servant, and Jesus is like, "Peter, that's not what we're doing. That's not the way." And miracle puts his ear back on, right? So this is Peter. This is also Peter on Good Friday, and you can find this in Luke chapter 22, verse 33. It'll be on the screen behind me. Peter said to him, speaking to Jesus, Peter said, "Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death." That's what Peter says. Next verse, verse 34, this is Jesus' response. Jesus said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny me, until you deny three times that you know me." Peter's there probably thinking, "No way. Haven't you just heard what I just said, Jesus? I'm all in on this thing. I'm ready to follow you no matter what it takes. I'm in." Have you ever had a moment like that? Maybe it was your, you know, journey of faith with God, or maybe it was something different just generally in life, and you're like, "You know what, I'm in. I'm committed. I'm in this thing. I'm posting on social media about it. You know, this juice diet is starting today." And then, you know, we check back a little bit later, and maybe the juice diet has, you know, gone off. But what we're going to do is we're going to read down, because Peter said, "Hey, I'm in this. I'm ready to go, Jesus." And Jesus said, "Actually, you're going to deny me three times." This is only, you know, same chapter, a number of verses down. We're going to read this passage. This is Luke 22, 54 to 62. "Then they seized him," that's Jesus, "and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. And Peter was following at a distance." I really had that switch off prophetic word, didn't I? Anyway, okay, verse 30, 55. "And when they had kindled a fire," note that for a second, this sounds funny, but this fire part is important. "When they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the light and looking closely at him, said, 'This man also was with him.' But he denied it, saying, 'Woman, I do not know him.' And a little later, someone else saw him and said, 'You also are one of them.' But Peter said, 'Man, I am not.' And after an interval of about an hour, still another insisted, saying, 'Certainly this man was also with him, for he too is a Galilean.' But Peter said, 'Man, I do not know what you're talking about.' And immediately, While he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, that's Jesus, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. We see this, Peter's sort of outside of where Jesus is being interrogated by the religious leaders at the time. And he's around this campfire with a whole bunch of people. And we find that Peter's world has just fallen apart. He's now got to eat his words. Remember, he just said, "Jesus, I'm all in with you. I'm going to follow you, you know, to prison, to death, whatever it takes, I'm there." And then on the same day, even after Jesus had given him pre-warning that said this is going to happen, Peter denies him three times. And it says that Peter runs away and he wept bitterly. Another translation of that verse says that he cried and cried and cried. This is not just a few tears. This is obviously a deep emotional anguish at what he's just done, at what's just happened. And I don't know about you, but I love how in the Bible, it doesn't leave out the failings and misdeeds of people. It's right there for all of us to see. The Bible's not the highlight reel of all these amazing, great people of faith. It is that, but we see their flaws and we see their mistakes. It helps and it reminds us that in spite of our own failings, which we all have, that Jesus still forgives, that he still accepts, and that he still pours out his love on all of us. I remember I had a bit of a Peter moment. Actually, it's scarily the same. I was in year 8 at high school. And so it was a number of years ago, obviously. And there's, those memories that you have and you can still picture where you were. We were waiting for the bus to take us home. I was in front of one of the rooms with the kitchen. What do you call it? Anyway, you know what I mean. Home economics. They don't call it that anymore. Showing some age now. But, you know, I was there waiting for the bus. It was a Tuesday. The reason I remember it was a Tuesday is because, so I was in year 8. This girl in year 7 came up to me, and we went to the same church, and she said, "Hey, Marty, are you going to the prayer meeting tonight?" The problem was that I was standing with all my mates who were definitely not going to the prayer meeting. I could have answered that question very quickly with, "Yes, I'll be there," because I was going to be there. But something inside of this little year 8 with voice still cracking, blonde sort of middle part, which I think is back now, you know, thing going on, I won't work out the year, but it was in the 90s, let's just say that. Something of fear inside me. And you know what I did? It's actually shocking. I said, what are you talking about? Like, literally the same as Peter. Like, sorry, I even remember the girl's name. How bad is that? Sorry, Amy, no idea. No idea what you're talking about. Sorry to the Amys here. You know, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not going, you know, pretended like I hadn't heard of it. Just so struck with fear about what people would say. I still cringe at it now, 27 years later. But, you know, the amazing thing is that you might not have had the same situation as that, but I'm sure somewhere in your life there's been a time, quite possibly many times, I know they have for me, when you've disappointed yourself. When you've said something and the words just came out of your mouth and you wish you could just like grab them and shove them back in your big dumb mouth. You know, we've all had times like that before. Or maybe you've done something and you're like, "Wow, I cannot undo that. I can't. That's done now." Or maybe you've been somewhere and you're thinking, "Can we just like rewind the tape a little bit? Can we just go back? Because I wish I never went into that environment in the first place." The Bible actually says something similar about all of us. It says it like this in Romans 3:23. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." All of us. Each and every one. You, me, Peter in the Bible, the greatest person you can think of, Mother Teresa, whoever it is, Nelson Mandela. We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are all in the same boat together. Some of you are thinking, "Oh, I thought this was supposed to be a good Friday message. We like drop below average now, like even lower, but trust me, it's coming." But let's just go back to Peter from the Bible. Remember, I said we had to put a bit of a pin in that thing about that he was in front of a fire. Seemingly random detail about Peter, but we're going to fast forward because there's another fire scene. And here's the setup. We're going to read from John 21 in a second, but Jesus has just been raised from the dead. So we've skipped a bit, right? Amazing. Miraculous. He's appeared a few times to his disciples, but it seems like they're still a little bit confused. Like he's turned up, he's walked through some walls, he's done some amazing things. They've, you know, put hands through his, Thomas has felt his scars, like all these things have happened, but they're still a little bit confused because they decide to go back to what they previously did, which is fishing. And so while they're fishing, Jesus turns up again. Peter is in the boat, and he sees what he thinks is Jesus back on the shore. And so he races as fast as he can from the boat. And what does he find Jesus doing? He finds Jesus sitting around a fire. This is John 21, verse 9 to 17. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dare ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus had was revealed to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Verse 15, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John," that's Peter. He's got more than one name. A couple of people, yep. Timothy and Tim, yeah, same as mine. Marty and Martin, yeah. It depends, you know, depends who you ask. If you ask my parents, it's Martin. Anyway, we'll move on from there. But when he had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, that's Jesus replying, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." So once again, we've got Peter sitting around a fire. We've got Jesus there. And remember that Jesus never does anything by accident. It always has purpose attached to it. It always has intention there. And he asked Peter three times, "Do you love me?" Jesus wasn't checking to see if Peter was actually the real deal this time. Jesus wasn't stirring Peter up or being irritating by asking the same thing three times. What Jesus was doing is he was actually restoring Peter. You see, the setting being the fire is not a coincidence. It's a hint from God that what's happening here is linked to that previous occasion. And so what happens is because Peter has denied Jesus three times, Jesus says to Peter, "Do you love me?" three times. Why? Because he's restoring Peter back to where he wants him to be. Jesus is calling Peter to return to the purpose that Jesus has given him, to lead his church, to lead the charge, to be responsible, to lead and tend and care for Jesus' sheep. And can I tell you, this is the power of Jesus on this Good Friday. Whatever you have done, wherever you have messed up, Jesus wants to restore you. Whatever in your life that maybe comes over your life and over your thoughts to bring shame and to bring guilt, the power of Jesus' blood, the power of Good Friday is the same thing that he offered to Peter, is that if we come to him, that he will restore us, that he will bring healing. As we sang about, that he will bring hope no matter what we've done and no matter what we've faced. Bible says this, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why is it a good, great, amazing, the goat of all Fridays? Like why is it that? because it gives us forgiveness from our past. It gives us forgiveness for our future misdeeds. This is the message of hope. It's the message of Easter. That God shows, actually, yeah, let's read this. Romans 5 verse 8 says this. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's the power of Easter. It's the power of Easter. In a moment, Ben and Kate are going to, they can come now actually, and join me on stage. They've got a song that I'm going to bring round to talk about the miracle power of God in us. But I want to bring this quote to you from Timothy Keller. I think it summarizes just so brilliantly what we're talking about. He's an author, or was an author, pastor. He says this, the gospel is this. We are more sinful and flawed in ourselves than we ever dared believe, yet at the same time, we are more loved and accepted in Jesus Christ than we ever dared hope. You see, this world wants to maybe pretend that everything's going fine, everything's going great. It's not. There's a problem. The problem ultimately is sin and separation from God. But Jesus came. He says in John 10:10, he says, I came that you may have life and life to the full. This is a miracle. And it's a miracle that God wants to work in you and in me. The greatest miracle of all time is that Jesus, a perfect, spotless sacrifice, would lay down his life for me and for you. And not only lay down his life, but as we talked about all night and we'll celebrate extensively on Sunday morning, that he rose again from the dead. Victory over sin, victory over death, and then produce life in each one of us as we accept him and follow him. And so tonight, these guys are going to bring this song. I'd love to either take a moment as a reflection as they sing about the miracle working power of God. They're going to come back up, we're going to pray, and then we're going to close. So thanks, Kate. Thanks, Ben.
Jesus.